Hello and welcome to the Over Under Achievers. I'm one of your hosts, Dunks McCoy, and joining me as always, he's not chicken, he's not pizza, he's cheesa. Cheetza. It's Jason Waterfalls.
What the heck is cheesa?
Please tell me you've heard about this, because I was a little background. I hadn't placed a bet in a minute, and I don't have a good handle on the NBA. I don't have a good handle on college basketball. So I placed two parlays, you know, lost them both. One of them involved the Pistons winning, which like just kill me with a spoon. I'm cursed to always lose bets or whatever in the NBA. But I was watching one of the games I had money on, like a degenerate, and a commercial for KFC came on. And I was like, okay. Oh, that's cool. What they got? What they trotting out here? And I was confused because they were showing a gentleman eating what seemed to be a pizza. And I was like, man, I thought it was KFC. What's going on? Maybe this Pizza Hut. Maybe it's one of those combo deals. It is, but it isn't. KFC now has a new product called the Cheetza. And it's just chicken with cheese and pepperoni on it. And even, you know, like in food commercials, the food looks amazing, right? Food is like, it's not even real, but it looks amazing.
Look good. Is it Chizza?
It's spelled like... I just want to be like, guys, sometimes something's wrong out of the gate and you can't redeem it because...
But there's no T in there. There's no like CK. It's C-H-I-Z-Z-A. And I have not seen a commercial for this at all. But I think it's just called Chizza?
I know, but does pizza, anyone want to pronounce cheesa. It like that, right?
I think like, that's the move, though.
I know like most people when you talk about pizza, there's a weird T in there that doesn't belong, but it is. It just is, and it's established. But this food didn't even look good in the commercial. Like even the guy eating it was like, oh, disgusting. I guess I'll eat this for the money, but whatever. It looks like an abomination, man.
This is like a chicken parm situation. Okay, we've got fried chicken with marinara sauce, mozzarella cheese, and then pepperonis on top. I'm not gonna
honestly,
lie. I'm not gonna lie to you. It looks kinda good.
The commercial did not represent the marinara. The commercial was like, here is a microwaved slice of mozzarella. Here are some sad lunchable pepperonis.
Yeah.
On a popcorn chicken that looks like it's tumorous. Enjoy. You know, so I mean,
let's not take shots at popcorn chicken. Just
I love popcorn chicken. I love popcorn chicken, but it needs to look like popcorn. It doesn't need to look like popcorn chicken that's pregnant with like quintuplets. You know what I mean? That's all I'm asking right here. So I don't know. I think our next bet has to involve one of us ordering and eating this in its entirety.
Done. We need to make that bet today because I'm not going to lie. If you hadn't have just said that, I might have this for lunch in the next few days.
You're like, oh no, I lost my bet. Oh, so sad. I guess I got to do the chizza thing, which is a great name for food. Again, that we
I mean, I just and just to be clear for all listeners out there, you are correct, and they have the pronunciation here in. It's spelled C H I Z Z A, but the pronunciation is C H E E T dash Z A, and that is the wildest part of this entire story, in my opinion.
Look, anytime you're kicking off a new food product and you have to explain how to pronounce it, I think you're already like, you're just like a home run out of the gate. You're doing really well.
I mean, I guess we don't say pizza, right?
You don't. And that's the difficult part is like, I want to phonetically pronounce this chizza, but that sounds A, wrong. B, it's pizza. Not like the spirit of what they're going for here. But
do
also,
we say P-E-E-T-Z-A? Pizza?
I do. I say, are we ordering pizza tonight? I put pizza. A T in there every single time. It's
oh
like everyone
gosh,
talks
I'm
about.
Just realizing this.
Everyone says they say library. No one does. Library. Everyone says library.
No,
says
library.
Okay.
I say
you're
library.
Doing it you're really hitting it now. You wouldn't normally.
No, I think that this is the one that I'm on the other side. I say library. I don't say library.
I'm just telling you right now, there's going to be a day in like September where you're going to be like doing your thing, working. I'm going to bang on your front door like I'm serving a warrant, and I'm going to make you say library, and you're going to say library because you're
going to
be taken off guard.
I think you got the wrong guy. You know I don't read. I'm not even certain anymore that I know how to read. You know what I mean? Like, I say library.
Are libraries even a thing anymore? You don't know.
You just said library correctly.
I know because now I'm in my head about it.
No, see?
So I'm like, should I course correct here and just like really emphasize? It's like when I say Reese's now, I feel like I'm saying it wrong, but everyone's like, yeah, That's a normal way to say it.
My nephew's name is Reese, and I got to tell you, every time I go to spell his name, I'm like, is it an S or a C? Every single time.
There's so many E's and S's. Who's to know where they go and why?
Should we have... Is this good content? Should we have an episode where we just have listeners send us words that they want us both to pronounce, and then we both pronounce them and see what happens?
And whoever gets the most right has to eat the chizza.
The chiza.
I actually like chiza. I think that's kind of fun. That's a better way to do it.
All right, now it's a Chicago thing.
No, I'm not. I don't want to do the deep dish thing. It's ridiculous. All right, and before we get into our episode this week, I wanted to remind everybody, it's Survivor season. We're so excited. Survivor is back. We did our preview last week, and so Survivor 46 is here. And we are recapping every episode of the season on our newsletter. So if you go to KnoxMcCoy.com and you support us at the monthly or yearly level, you will get those Survivor recaps dropped into your podcast feed, wherever you listen to podcasts. So we're doing the ADHD episodes a couple times a month. We're doing the Survivor recaps every week. I'm really excited to talk Survivor with you, Jason, and I'm excited to get some of the feedback from the listeners. So if you're interested in Survivor at all, or just like us recapping shows you've never seen before, I think you'll really enjoy that. So KnoxMcCoy.com and support us at the monthly or yearly level. Jason, what's good, man? How we doing today?
I'm doing well, man. I thought I figured out gambling the other day. I think I went like 7 or 8 and 1, 6 and 1, something like that.
Look at that.
And no, hold on. And then the next day, I went like 0 and whatever. So just the world's evenest gambler, you know. Okay. That was super fun doing college basketball and trying to figure out some kind of a pattern or a play. There's more and more coming out that just basically never do same game parlays. And I think that we've already known that from the beginning. For the record, don't do parlays. Yeah. Don't do same game parlays. How do you get better just regular betting, though? Right. It's not as fun or exciting. I guess it is to win, but then I have losing days. So, you know, just the ups and downs of a gambler's life.
Let me throw this out there. What if the point of gambling isn't winning money? What if it's just having a good time and entertaining yourself? You know, what if you want to become a rock bottom king like the SNL sketch?
Did you like that sketch? You see it?
I did. I really enjoyed it. I really liked it.
Okay. I have to say, for the record, his opening monologue is stand up work that he's done in the past. I think he did a really good job. And this is Shane Gillis on Saturday Night Live. I think he did a really good job. But the monologue was pre-existing content.
And it was. You know, and the thing with Shane Gillis is I think if you just strip him down to like his comedy and take out, like, because obviously he's done things that he needed to apologize for and he needed to have some consequences for, I think he's so tied up with some of the provocative comedy where whatever, like, I'm not a comedian inquisitor here. I think he's a funny guy.
Yes.
And sometimes I wish he'd focus less on, like, I want to get a reaction, provoke people. I just want to do stuff like Rock Bottom Kings. Or did you see the Limu, Emu, and Doug?
That was the one. That's exactly what I was going to bring up.
Dude, the Rock Bottom Kings, one of the funniest things I've seen in a long time.
The Rock Bottom Kings was not as funny as everybody was saying. I think it just, like, hit so close to home.
It was just
for a
true.
Bunch of,
it was just really real.
That was not like a comedy skit. That was just like, hey,
yeah,
let's start betting on other things like you and I have been talking about and doing for a while. Yeah. Like, what are the odds here? But that Limu, Emu, and Doug one,
my gosh, that,
the birds freaked me. The bird freaked me out, for the record.
It really did.
But that's, it escalated so quickly. Like, that's what digital shorts kind of used to be. And there was just, you know, and then it just kept going.
Yeah.
And it's just like, how are we going to figure this out? That, I can see why it was cut. Everybody's like, why was the funniest things cut? Well, you know, we'll see. But, and they might have also saved it just for digital. But the Limu, Emu, and Doug was hilarious. Because I actually
like that's what I mean. I'm like, if he would just do more of that, I think it would be fine. But I don't know why he feels like the need to, provocateur pander, you know. But I will say, to what you're talking about, I put together like a nice parlay, and at the end of it, I just needed Kansas at home to beat BYU. And I was like, this is a done deal. Rock Chalk Jayhawk. I'm just going to go ahead and cash this and, tell Grayson to go suck a butt, because somehow BYU beat Kansas at home. And I don't understand why or how. I just woke up to that.
So, I don't think we need to tell him. He was not so happy about that loss, for the record. So, I don't think that that's something we have to pass along, other than we have already.
somebody has to answer for this, and I don't know Bill Self's number. So, ergo, that's you. Okay. Lots to get to today, Jason. I want to start with a start, sit, cut. And I want to throw, I've got three things, and I want you to help me talk through what we're starting, setting, and cutting. The third one, I'm going to give you like an alternate. I'm going to give you a choice. You can pick which one we go to. But the first one, I've got Shohei Ohtani. I've got the Kevin Costner trailer, Horizon:Chapter 1, which is a great title. And then there's either a Willy Wonka immersive experience or Wendy's wanting to surge price. Which one would you prefer to talk about, Willy Wonka or Wendy's?
I'm going to go with Willy Wonka to discuss, because for the Wendy's surge pricing, no chaisa at Wendy's. No innovation like the chaisa at right. Wendy's. And that's why they have to go to this surge pricing, which if your sales are down and you want to turn to surge pricing for a fast food restaurant, good luck. It's a swing. We are pro swings here, right? Not swing states. This is not a political show, but we are pro taking swings. And, you know, having a chaisa and then having surge pricing on your freaking double baconators, those are two very different swings. Let's just say that.
I would also say I'm not personally in favor of marriage swinging. That's just a personal preference. So I don't know that we can honestly say we are like a pro swing podcast, because it feels like we're more anti swings than we're pro swings. You know
swings
what I mean?
Swings for restaurants and companies. Yes, not okay, for okay. home situations. I am also
not polyamory. Not politics.
Well, I'm not saying I'm not pro polyamory, just not for me in my house.
Not for me, exactly. Not for me in my house.
Your marriage, your choice. Yeah, that's I've always said.
I mean, I do like porch swings. I'm a big fan of porch swings.
Okay, so now you're back into swings at home. This is.
Did I ever tell you? I'm sure
we've got to swing outside. All of a sudden, we got to swing inside. You know what I mean?
No. Well, okay. See, maybe I've told you this. Maybe I haven't. My grandma, my dad's mother. She was late to the internet game, but she did want to be able to communicate with people. And she loved porch swings as well. So her first username on AOL Instant Messenger that she set up was Swing and Jane, because she just likes swing.
Well, there's also, swing. You know, like Jane in George of the Jungle, right? Yeah. So Jane was swinging around there. Maybe she was just big Brendan Fraser fan like Aaron.
Maybe as a dovetail. Who knows? Who knows? You know, God rest her soul. I always thought surge pricing was about supply and demand, and you have so much demand that you can surge price the supply. But Wendy's seems to be saying, we have no demand. what if we just surge price the supply, which is a wild choice. I thought Wendy's fell off when, like cowards, they stopped referring to their large sizes as biggie, because I thought that's when that was their punk rock era. And once they came off that, like, it's just been a slow descent. So
We're not going to talk about Wendy's. We're choosing to not talk about that one.
That's right. So instead, we're going to talk Shohei Ohtani, Horizon, new Kevin Costner movie, and Willy Wonka immersive experience. I think what I want to do is I want to start Willy Wonka immersive experience. I would like to sit Horizon Chapter 1, and I want to cut Shohei Ohtani. And the reason I want to cut Shohei Ohtani is nothing that he's done. He does look like a big child to me, like a big wunderkind child. And he probably is, honestly, like if you zoom out and like 50 years from now, I think people will be like, this must have been the most incredible sports experience to see this person play. And Jason, I couldn't care less. I just don't care. And it's not his fault. I'm not blaming Shohei. This is on me. I don't know what my apathy is about. I just don't care about this guy. And like, seeing
I'm all in on Shohei. I'm completely in on Shohei.
I want to be. You're judging me. I want to be.
I'm absolutely judging you on this one. Absolutely judging you. I got to tell you, we do not agree on these three in the order that you've picked, because Shohei for me is something in MLB that interests me across teams. Yeah. I thought it was absolutely hilarious when the Rams, after Shohei signed with the Dodgers, the Rams did this huge thing about Shohei's in Los Angeles. He was like 15 minutes down the road in Anaheim, and the Rams didn't pay any attention to him. He signs with the Dodgers, and now it's like this giant thing in LA, right? So I thought that was a hilarious thing against the Angels. He seems fun. He seems really fun. He seems like Victor Wembanyama, but doesn't speak English, or not that well, which is his choice. I don't really care. I got to tell you, I'm excited to see when he comes back to pitching. I have no idea what that timeline is. He is very, very fun to watch. Seems like a nice enough guy. He has a puppy dog or something that is also pretty funny or interesting. I don't know. I don't go that far into the Shohei content, but sure. cutting it is a bit dramatic. I'll say.
Look, again, it's not his fault. Okay. I'm saying, I'm looking at myself in the mirror and pointing and being like, you need to get it together. But I just don't care. I saw someone tweeted this. I wish I could give credit, but they were like, the Shohei Mike Trout era on the Angels, it was always like Mike Trout went 6-for-6 with 6 grand slams. Shohei Ohtani struck out 18 people and hit for the cycle, and the Angels lost 22-5, you know? Yeah. And it feels so, I don't know if that's what it is. It's like I'm getting so used to quarterback centric football and personality dominated basketball that baseball is, you're so just diffused into the team and to the pitchers and the situations that it doesn't, like, you can't really have stars like you can in other sports right now.
And here's the other thing about Shohei. I'll say this. I think that his skin is like tougher than any other skin because they had to use a chainsaw to do that surgery on his arm. Have you seen the scar and the
Oh my gosh, the scar looks horrific.
They were like, hey, let's do that laser procedure that we do on everybody else and there's no scar. And they were like,
yeah,
we can't. Our lasers cannot get past this skin.
It's like General Grievous arm. Like it looked like they really had to like break out the heavy machinery to get through that, which credit to him. That's just good stuff.
And I'm just saying, a couple more surgeries and he's going to have scars like that all over his body and it's going to look pretty sweet.
Okay. Let me just say something crazy. Ask a super question. You are free to recoil in horror. What if there was a channel that was like, pro athlete surgeries? And like
you're talking to the wrong guy and you know that. So I'm waiting for the hook in the end of this idea. Just, no bad ideas.
Theoretically.
But not
just
for
theoretically,
me.
It was like, you know, pretend you were medically interested or maybe you're not, but it was like part of the deal is if you got to get your ACL repaired, there's a channel, there's like a OnlyFans, only MD fans where you get to watch the surgery. You know, is that a good idea? I'm asking. I'm not saying, I'm just asking.
Okay. Yes. And Dr. James Andrews is on Cameo and does cameos during his surgery.
That's so like a flex.
Costs like $1,000, but every cameo of Dr. James Andrews, it pans down and somebody famous is on the operating table.
Like, is that Lamar Jack? What? I just wanted a happy, Hanukkah, but that's Lamar Jackson. That's ridiculous. I think charge less and just be like, I'm a man of the people. You know, didn't he retire? Didn't Dr. James Andrews retire?
Do you ever retire if you're like that world renowned? He's probably still consulting. You know, he might not be operating, but.
Isn't that the dream? Just to consult, just to be like, I consult now. People ask me questions and I charge them money and I tell them things that maybe help, maybe they don't. I don't know. But that's the dream. That's the goal, you know? So I'm going to cut Shohei. I think I said, wait,
you're really cutting yourself. And I know how we both kind of cut ourselves from time to time, but
sure.
You can't get mad at me for judging you when you're judging you.
No, that's fair. That's fair. I'm just saying this isn't like a, you know, there are hard takes, right? There's like, I'm all in on this, but this is one of those, I'm going to zoom back and be like self-accountability, right? But I still need the accountability.
There's just something about the MLB that I can't get over. And I'm going to tell you right now, I think it's because the Indians here in town are so fun to go to their games and the freaking Savannah Bananas, I think about them all the time. That was one of the best 2 hours as far as sports or experiential things I've done. And we've already got tickets again for this season. It was so fun to watch. Baseball could be more fun. The pitch clock has helped several things. Larger bases, still don't really understand, but that's cool. That's fun, I guess. But Shohei is one of the good ones until he's not, and then disavow. But until then, I'm on Team Shohei.
I would, first of all, you were at the podcast live, but I didn't hear it in that list. Sounds weird. That was a weird list for you. I don't know.
Great live show. Great live show.
Yeah. Just not in the top three, you know, or whatever. That's fine. I would say, what if we made the bases bigger? Like really bigger.
That's my point. Like, they got a little bigger. Make them either huge or make them triangle. Oh my gosh. A different shape per base.
Okay. I love that. I think like the size of a kitchen island. Where it's like
you like get a running start on the base.
Yep. And I just want some zany sequences where a second baseman's chasing someone around it a couple times and it's like, what are we doing? But who's gonna stop here? You know, who's gonna be the one to stop? Okay. I'm gonna sit Horizon : Chapter One, the trailer. This is the trailer came out. Long story short, this is the Kevin Costner passion project. Feels Dances with Wolvesy, to be honest, but I think this really precipitated a lot of the issues he had in Yellowstone with Taylor Sheridan. I think he only wanted minimal time on set for Yellowstone as John Dutton, partially so he could be a Family Guy, allegedly, but also so he could work on Horizon Chapter One.
Not the Family Guy part, just to be completely clear.
Maybe. Who knows? Who knows?
I'll take that shot right now. Me. I know. Is because he was financing this movie and Part Two and Chapter Seven and whatever else, and it's absolutely has nothing to do with his family.
Yeah, this this trailer, I'm torn because it looks interesting. It also looks like even the trailer looks super bloated, and like, what actually is this? And did anyone give notes here? It looks great. There are a lot of really talented people. Sam Worthington is in this. Kevin Costner also is always in his movies because he's just a cool guy who doesn't talk much, but has a lot of sex and kills a lot of people. And that's how you know it's a Kevin Costner movie. Did you realize that's his son in the burning house in the first part of the trailer?
I absolutely did not know that he even had a son that was in the world of entertainment.
Well, my rule is if
is
there's
last
a
name
noticeably...
Costner?
Yes, yes. Well, I think so. I didn't check, but yes, I know it's his son. If there's an actor in prominently involved and they're noticeably bad, they have to be related to the director or to the main star, and that's here in this situation.
You want a hot take? I thought this trailer was awesome.
Which parts? Talk to me about, because
all of it. It looked like the Western that we've been. You remember Cowboys and Aliens, the Jon Favreau movie. Mm-hmm. I was really hoping that was going to like be extremely good, Daniel Craig. It was good. It was fun. I was hoping that was going to keep going and going because the old West or Westerns, there's just something about it. No cell phones, no cars. You just got these little towns and then you take 7 days to get to the next little town. I think this looks awesome as a Western. Now, do I think that everything about the trailer is perfect? No, I do not. I do not. And is the love interest age appropriate? Does not appear to be, but I also didn't do research there. So I think that this is a situation where Kevin Costner is like JV Tom Cruise. I think I really, really like him on screen. I'm not certain I agree with almost anything that he does in the personal life that I would like to stand behind, but Kevin Costner on screen is fun and good. And this is a great platform for him. And that's probably why he paid for it himself.
Kevin Costner is JV Tom Cruise. That's fascinating. I don't know that I disagree with that at all. And there was a hot minute where it's like everything Kevin Costner was involved in was good, but then it felt like he just lost the handle. Maybe it's similar to that gap where Tom Cruise kind of lost his mind for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then he righted the ship. I feel like Yellowstone was that for Costner. I think the interesting, and to your love interest point, I don't know how old Kevin Costner is. I just know the woman who seems to be playing his love interest, she was in Fury Road. And she was also born in 1987, which is pretty recent as opposed to Kevin Costner, I will say. But that's believable. I mean, there's
a 30-year difference. And maybe that was how the Old West was. Maybe we're going to learn about that. Maybe there's going to be some education in this film as well.
Maybe. I think the interesting part about this is he's competing. The good and the bad is that when he worked with Taylor Sheridan, I feel like Taylor Sheridan knew how to use Kevin Costner and wanted to talk about a world that Kevin Costner was interested in. The bad is that I feel like Taylor Sheridan has really created a vocabulary and world of Western ideologies and articulated that in a very clear, interesting way. I don't know that Kevin Costner has always been as good at clarifying that as much as like luxuriating in we're in the West. Isn't this awesome? And it is. And you're right. Like this trailer looks really good. But it also, one of my rules about trailers, and this is to me, because I see every trailer and I think this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. At the end of it, I try to say, what's this about? And when I watched this, I was like, it's about the West. That's pretty much it. You know, like when I watched Borderlands, I was like, I think it's about the Borderlands. I think. And that's kind of what I got from that trailer. That's my fear, is I don't know what this is actually about.
So, and I'm a huge Mission Impossible fan, and I'll just say this so that baby Billy Bayless does not lose his freaking mind on me. Maybe Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 was not the greatest film on the planet. Okay. Maybe. Okay. Let's leave space open for it to not be a good movie.
Sure.
Maybe chapter one isn't about anything like Dead Reckoning part one. We probably end up not needing because part two is going to really matter. Right. And, you know, for Mission Impossible, they're taking part one off of the first title and they're now not calling it part two. So they've got a lot that they're dealing with. Maybe the first chapter is just a setup. Maybe this is like a visual book. Okay. Again, at the library, this is like a visual book. And the chapter one is just setup. You don't get all the plot twists in the first chapter. That's why it's called chapter one.
Do you think that's part of like
introducing the problem? Everybody.
If it was just Horizon and we didn't know it was chapter one, do you think the reception would be a little easier? It feels like the chapter one of it all makes me think like, oh my gosh, how many chapters do we have? Like, what is this? You know?
As I understand it, this movie's coming out in June and then chapter two's coming out in August, like boom, boom.
Oh, for real?
That's what I understand. Yeah.
Oh, I think just take the, I would be like, Kev, take the chapter off, you know, just take the chapter off and maybe get your son out of there. There's no offense, but just, I don't know that he's carrying the scene. He's
What's that one guy that did like morning time, daytime, nighttime? There's like a series of movies. There was like breakfast, lunch, sunset. Can we do like Horizon and then do like sunset and then do like at midnight and then it's sponsored by the TV show At Midnight or something for Kevin Costner for these movies? Like, let's have really dramatic titles like Horizon, The West Never Won or something like that. Like something very dramatic instead of chapter one. We didn't have to.
I do. I agree. I think the title needs some work. You know, because it just, what does that even mean? I think you're talking about Richard Linklater and he did like a trilogy before Midnight. I don't know what the rest of them were, but they were all related. I like that. But it was like, they stand on their own, but it's also not like, oh my gosh, I got to wait for, I gotta be honest. I don't know that I've ever been, you know, like people talk about like the fall from innocence for people, like when, like where your eyes are open to like how the world actually is. I don't know that I've ever been more enraged than when I got to end of Lord of the Rings, the first movie. And I realized that it was not going to like, I thought it was just gonna be one movie, boom, boom, boom. We're in, we're out, blah, blah, blah. I didn't realize. So like when it ends with them on mountain, I think I was infuriated. I was like, I sat here for 3 hours as a 13-year-old or whatever. And we're ending on a mountain and I got to wait 2 years to see another one. Of
Is
these?
That why you're still mad at that franchise? We knew there was other movies. I mean, I don't know if you did at the time.
I did not.
It was very aware. Evident. Like that was like one of the things. They're shooting three movies at a time on this huge budget in New Zealand or wherever. And that was the best visual to be continued of all time. So
I'm sorry, Roger. We are Albert. Not I wasn't in sync attuned. On this I didn't get Empire magazine. I didn't know about all this. I just knew I was going to see a movie and there weren't a lot of rings, weren't a lot of lords, and it ended without any clarification. So I was just really upset about that. So maybe I do want clarity.
Designing Women didn't talk about how they filmed the original Lord of the Rings movies.
I wish they had. I would have been enraptured in that conversation, you know? Okay. So let's talk this. So that's sitting. The one I'm starting is, so there was in, I guess Glasgow, man, I don't know if it's Glasgow. Is it Glasgow? Glasgow. I want to call it Glasgow. I don't even know where Glasgow is.
Are you looking? It's in Scotland.
Scotland. Okay.
So this whole story is like based on the idea that there's stuff going on in Scotland these days. The traitors with Alan Cummings, and then this story. A lot going on in Scotland. Scotland is swinging
popping
through
off.
The fences. Yeah.
You know, and look, maybe I've got some 23andMe notes of like big Scotland influence, you know. Maybe we've got the Outlander subtext of like Scotland influence. So I'm open to it. I'm open to everything. I'm not judging Scotland. But there was, long story short, there was a group that advertised an immersive Willy Wonka themed like chocolate experience in Scotland, and people bought tickets and they showed up, and what they showed up to versus what was advertised to them using AI was very different. And I just want to say two things. I don't blame the group that did this. Okay. I blame the parents, because when you buy an immersive Willy Wonka chocolate experience, which as a reminder, this is a movie series predicated on children disappearing in candy situations and being disciplined in candy situations. When you do that, you buy tickets from a thing called House of Illuminati.
There it is. That's the organization like, that did this event.
come on. What are we talking about? You pay like $30 and you think you're going to get like Chocolate Rivers and Never-Ending Gobstoppers or whatever. Like, I just, come on, babies. Like, what, you deserve everything you get. I feel like this is an IQ test. This is Darwinian. I have no issues with it.
I would like to read this paragraph from the People article. Jenny Fogarty, an actor who was hired to play an Oompa Loompa, claimed she received a 15-page script the night before the event.
Okay.
What
let's be professionals here. You know, let's memorize those lines.
Her costume was the sexy version of an Oompa Loompa, not the kid-friendly version she anticipated.
I'm sorry. I don't know what your anticipations are. I don't know what your assumptions are. If you have a question, ask questions. You know, I'm not here. I can't like understand what you don't understand. If you need clarification, ask for clarification. Jenny Fogarty, you know, it's a 15-page script. Like, be an adult, be a professional here.
If you think you're just supposed to like stand around in this facility that the House of Illuminati has put together and be an Oompa Loompa, and then the night before you get a 15-page script, that's when you start asking a lot of questions very quickly.
I think I have no empathy for if someone bought, like, if I bought tickets to an event put on by the deep state lizard people. And that event didn't go great, I wouldn't be like, I'm so mad. I would be like, I need to do some self-assessment. I need to do my diligence on who I'm associating with and buying tickets from. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely know what you mean. And the second that you see it's organized by a group called House of Illuminati, all bets are off. There's no refunds. This was choose your own adventure. You went into this. You signed all the waivers. That you can't complain about anything. I don't care if AI or anything was involved, but if you sign up for something that is put on by the House of Illuminati, you're there for a reason. You're there for the lizard
people. That's your fault.
You're
take
there for
accountability.
You're there for the crowd became angrier as they began to realize the event was not what they expected.
It was $45. What did you think was going to happen here? And there was, did you see the part where like the site where you book your tickets, there were pictures that promised Carchi Tons, which they think meant catchy tunes. And then something called Sweet Teats, which they, that I guess spell check didn't catch, was supposed to be Sweet Treats. But like, if you're promising Sweet Teats and people buy tickets to that, I think you're people are expecting a different kind of situation. And there was also something called Cat Gacatting. Which was supposed to mean cascading. And I don't know. If I'm buying tickets to an event and there's a lot of misspelled words,
I don't like that we're attacking these words, which should be attacked, in the same episode where we are sponsored, not so much a paid sponsorship, but yeah. But the Chiza, now at select KFCs. I just don't want these two things being lumped in the same bucket together. These nonsense words over here by House of Illuminati, I don't want in the same bucket as Chiza.
I mean, as much as I want to agree with you, I do just think these all do belong. And I just, the most honest set of words is Sweet Teats, you know, because that's a real thing that was promised and not delivered. Maybe that's why the Oompa Loompa costume got sexy all of a sudden, because they're like, oh crap, Roy put in Sweet Teats instead of Sweet Treats. So we got to make this kind of sexy. So we
from
don't get
the pictures,
sued.
There's a couple of like really well-made 3D objects. Now, there's not a ton of them, so I don't know how large this set ended up being, but there, you know, some of the display pieces were very well done. So, you know, who's to blame here? It's impossible to know.
Did you see there was no chocolate? There was literally no chocolate at this event, which that does seem like an oversight.
That's not an oversight. It said there were sweet teats. It never said there was chocolate.
It does feel implied that just have some like Cadbury eggs or some Reese's hearts. Or
I don't
whatever.
Think Cadbury and Wonka bars are the same brand, but okay.
It's not, but just have chocolate, right? Just have any chocolate, Hershey's, whatever. Dark chocolate, it doesn't matter. Just have some chocolate.
You know what happened here? And this is what happened. House of Illuminati was like, let's just put this all together and Wonka bars will sign on. There's really Wonka bars in the world, not the
That's
joke
right.
ones from the movie. There are Wonka bars. I don't remember who makes them. But they're just like, we'll get the sponsorship at the last minute and this will all come together. And just a real Firefest type situation. That sponsorship just never landed for them. But again, theme of the episode, they took a swing. You know, were there sweet teats? No, there weren't. But, you know, there's a lot of other stuff in life where you hope something happens and it doesn't. Okay.
Yeah.
So good for House of Illuminati. I've actually changed my stance on this one.
I want to see what else, what other events are planning. You know, maybe I want to try to show up and just see what's going on there. Okay, that's helpful. Let's go. Let's do. We've got an overachieving, underachieving item to discuss here, and it is namely the televised, pseudo televised, with cell phones, Cam Newton fight. Look, I didn't see this weekend. It took until Monday morning. Once I watched it, I was fascinated with the footage of this fight that I think, so I might have the details wrong. It was at a football camp that Cam was helping put on. And he's also in a fight at the camp because of trash talking and beef between like different adult members of, I guess the community involved there. The thing about it was when you watched it, let's not talk about the hat stability yet. But beyond the hat stability of Cam Newton's during the fight, what jumped out at you most of all?
The fact that this group seemed like a set of ninjas that were undertrained, but seemingly, I didn't break down all their outfits because I just like to think that they were dressed exactly the same. And three or four people went at Cam Newton. So the first video I saw was from like down a bunch of steps looking up. And three or four people jumped Cam Newton. That is what happened. And Cam stood his ground, and at one point he was headlocking one guy and then still reaching out to fight another guy. And this was the craziest thing I've ever seen, because if you and your buddies are jumping somebody, and please don't ever do this, but you all go at him at the same time. They literally did the Ninja Turtles, the movie thing, where one went at him, he dealt with that person, the next one at him. So fair play to them for not just like attacking him all at the same time. But that was the only reason I thought this might be set up, but based on the anger and veracity involved, I don't think it was a setup. But the fact that they didn't all go at him at the same time, I just thought that was like, you know that now, and this is a movie thing to wait one at a time to attack.
Honestly, it is what has kept Shredder from being one of the great leaders of all time, because his strategy with the Foot Clan is to be like, everyone attack him individually.
Circle
and the rest
up,
wait,
and then one
and
at
watch.
A time.
it's the big fly in the ointment of Shredder's plans. Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, I think you and I have really talked about advocating for pros versus Joes to come back, because I think we've lost perspective on how much better athletes are than us. And I've long been a proponent of, during the Olympics, you need a normal competing on a different track, but just to give perspective on how much better Katie Ledecky is than anyone you know,
male or female, anybody, the best swimmer, you know, she's better than all of them.
She destroys them. Okay. She would also destroy you, but I think it's hilarious to be like, she finished her entire like eight laps or whatever, and I haven't even, I haven't gotten to the middle of my first. That's absurd. But I thought this fight was a great reminder that Cam Newton can't throw, right? He can't throw. He can do everything else really, really well. I did see one of the guys before he jumped posted something on social media, and he called Cam a, quote, and I apologize for the language here, non-throwing ass Atlanta hero quarterback, cannot beat me. And then he proceeded to get destroyed by Cam Newton while he was also fighting other gentlemen. That was the most impressed I've been with Cam Newton since the national championship game, to be honest with you.
And let's be, I'll tell you a story here in a second. Let's be very clear. Cam maybe can't throw a football accurately during an NFL game. You know, he can throw a bunch of bullies around. You know what he can throw? He can throw punches. Those are a couple of things that Cam can throw. I think I've told you this before, and it's currently the combine. Was it the NFL? No, it was not the NFL draft. It was the combine when it was in Indianapolis one time, and we were going through like the convention center things. Me and little man, I believe. And I saw Cam Newton in dress pants, a button-up shirt with a sweater over it. And so this is, you know, just a regularly dressed person. He had the crew cut. He hadn't got into all the fashion and all the hats and everything at the time. It was the largest, strongest person I think, you know, like I've ever seen in regular clothes. And I was just like, this guy is literally a monster. I was never a huge fan of his in college or in the pros. He definitely had an incredible MVP season and several other incredible plays and seasons. But the fact that this man is that big, do not go and try to fight him. And if you do, don't take three similar sized guys as you with you. Okay. And actually, let's just clarify, don't attack him at all. So for the record, disavow attacking Cam Newton. But this
we're
man
not
is
pro attacking Cam
huge.
Newton. I would say to your point, he looks like if a sequoia tree was a person, that's Cam
He's
Newton.
So big.
I would say, like, if you were going to, we don't think you should attack Cam Newton. If you were, what are we talking? Like, over under 6.5 people, you got a half to go at him.
Or like three defensive linemen or something. Like, it's not three normals. I'll tell you that.
I'm saying if it's you and your friends, it's you and like the guys you play fantasy football league with, how many of those people in that league? If it's a 10 team, let's say 10 team league. How many
We're
people
pretty
do you
old.
Need?
It's probably going to take our fantasy league and two other fantasy leagues to honestly attack.
You need at least 30 middle-aged normal people. I'd feel confident. I feel like we're just going to overwhelm
then
the numbers.
Then there might be a chance. But shout out to Cam Newton for winning
this fight. Waves and waves of mediocre dad bods, and you just can't sustain that kind of force, you know? But like, I think if you're a reasonably athletic young person, you've got to have at least six people with you. You know, to go after Cam Newton. Otherwise, don't do it.
Minimum. He's
I'm saying
so strong.
Young, in shape, physically active people. Otherwise, he is going to break you like toothpicks, which that was the most stunning part. Is just he was, and like, let's talk about the hat. The hat stayed
on. Let's talk about
the hat. I'm not the big, I love hats. I'm not like fashion hat guy, right? I don't hate that other people do that. I just don't understand it. I don't get it. His hat has been like a big part of his brand, as well as like the font he uses on social media. I don't understand these things, but I'm happy for him. He seems to love it. The fact that that hat never moved. Are you going to allege that it wasn't just his head keeping the hat on? Were there other, you know, performance enhancers keeping the hat on his body?
I think the hat was clipped down. I don't know if the hair was used to tie the hat down. I don't know if the hat was clipped to the hair. There had to be something else going on there. Otherwise, whoever makes those hats just got the best commercial of all time. And this could all be an inside job to say that these hats stay on, right? I'm trying to, what's the pitch here thing? These hats can't lose. These hats, man, not landing any of these. Thanks for staring at me while I'm doing this.
No, thing. Listen.
These, I'm, no, I'm, yes. Nope. It's, I, don't, I no, 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 a, don't help now. Don't help now. I, Sit out.
I had a Trojan condoms crossover, but I was like, I just can't. I don't know. See, I was like, but I don't know how that relates, you know? And I didn't. That was the only thing I came up with.
Protection for the head, these hats.
I will say, if we're talking about a non-clip situation, it's like DiMaggio 56 games, Cam's hat is staying on his head. I can't think of a more impressive feat. If that was not clipped, but it just, that was the level of calm he had. That's the most impressive athletic thing I've ever seen in my life.
It's incredible. I mean, he's had these tailors. Was he on Hard Knocks one season? When he was doing the cigar, fancy clothes, hat situation. Is Pharrell to blame for all of this because of that one?
Ooh,
hat that was like a Harry Potter type hat, but. Anyways, you know, everything that Cam Newton does, or like all of the intricacies, every weirdness is now an intricacy because he won this fight.
Yeah. Yeah.
So kudos to him, honestly.
Is there any other active NFL quarterback you think could have handled themselves similarly or respectably getting jumped like Cam got? Because I'm just going down the list of like Mahomes, Lamar.
No, Lamar.
Burrow, Baker. Dak Prescott,
Baker.
He got like Dak literally got jumped and he got cold cocked. I'm not shaming him for that. I'm just saying, you know, that
it
happened,
does feel like you're shaming him.
Aaron Rodgers,
Kirk Cousins would hold his own.
I feel like he would have talked his way. He would have mediated.
No. You know what his move is? Remember,
I got Cole's cash, guys.
Yeah, but he does it like Splinter and Master Splinter and Shredder, where he like throws the thing down and then it becomes smoke and then he just disappears. Yeah. Or like when you see at a halftime show, when the halftime performer like just throws a bunch of confetti in the air, and then when the confetti falls, they've changed outfits.
Yes. Yes.
That's what Kirk Cousins does with Kohl's cash. He's just got a big old wad of Kohl's cash that he pulls out of his pocket, and then he just throws it up in the air, and then it just, you don't know where he is, and then he's changed. Now he's in a ninja suit sponsored by Kohl's, and then he just starts fighting everybody.
I love it. Have they sponsored him yet? If they haven't sponsored him yet, what are they waiting on?
Okay. Yeah, he was like sponsored during, I think during the Super Bowl, and had a big old Kohl's cash or Kirk's cash or something like that. Necklace, gold necklace.
Tua, I don't think Tua.
No.
Tua, if he could make, I was going to say, if he could make himself look like an open receiver.
What if it's Joe Flacco? What if you don't go after Joe Flacco?
I do feel like there's one weirdo like quarterback that doesn't look like they would be just an absolute menace in a fight, but would. I don't think it's Jalen Hurts. I don't think it's Trevor Lawrence. What if it was Russell Wilson? What if he's just like, he's known for like dropping
people? I promise you it's not. But the scorched earth tour that he's on of telling the truth, good for him. Because the Broncos did like 9 illegal things in that situation.
Yes, they did.
So good for him. He's just sitting around telling the truth, and it is not good for the Broncos.
What if it was
Justin Herbert?
Geno Smith or Daniel Jones? They're just like they do fight clubs and they kill, like they just actually like destroy people.
I could see Daniel Jones. I don't think Geno, didn't he get punched in the, it's not Geno, because remember he got cold cocked in the mouth as well.
You're right. What if it was Bryce Young? What if it was Bryce Young? How long do you think Bryce Young would have lasted in that situation with Cam Newton?
I'm going to sit out of that one, because that's just not even fair, especially the Panthers against Panthers comparison there.
Yeah.
Those are two very different sized humans. And I'm going to choose to leave it at that.
I want to see a side by side. You know the that iconic picture of Mark Ingram next to Derrick Henry. You know, the coin toss, and
or Jose Altuve next to Aaron Judge.
Yeah, yeah. I want to see that. I just want to see the comparison. Let's go ahead and do our ADHD question of the week. If you don't know, the Dabs are dearly and beloved supporters of the podcast newsletter. Get to ask us questions that they want a dude husband or dad's perspective on, and we answer those for a couple of episodes each month. To listen to those episodes where we're answering those listener questions with our life advice, just go to knoxmccoy.com and support us at the monthly or yearly level. Here's a sample of the kinds of questions and answers you'll get in an ADHD episode. Jason, this is from Melissa Gibson, who says, who is most likely to win Trader Season 2 and why? Also, your recent Traders PD4 times takes gave me life. So we're recording. Is tomorrow the finale? Is tomorrow the last episode?
I don't know if tomorrow's the finale or a super finale or only 2 episodes left, but we're up against it. That's for sure.
If it is the finale, I'm going to say it feels like a lot needs to happen before the finale. So I just wanted to qualify with like, you know, this is Wednesday. I don't know what's going to happen in tomorrow's episode.
Right.
But I will say I was really upset when they ended this most recent episode and didn't.
Why?
Are you caught up? Like, do you know?
Yes.
Okay. Because no spoilers, but they ended it, and we don't know what happened. We don't know who got the vote to go.
The vote was split, and there was one vote left. And did we try to pause the TV 1,000 times on the exact moment? Yes, but
that's both bad form. That's bad form. You can't do that, Traitors.
What? This is like a classic reality move. You build that up, but they take us along pretty quickly through the rest of the episodes of the season. So I give them this. Absolutely.
No, here's my philosophy. Drama, comedy, whatever, fictional premises, you are allowed to give me cliffhangers. With reality TV, you give me reality conclusions. Okay?
No.
That's why, like Survivor, if they were like, and we're stuck here, and Jeff Probst is like, and the person voted out is, and they cut to next week, you wouldn't be infuriated? I'd be so mad.
They do that on Survivor.
No, they don't. They give you, someone goes home in an episode.
Someone went home this episode.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't like when they establish, here's the format. Like, for example, when they say,
this is season
hold on,
two.
Listen, when they say, for example, the Traitors will get to send someone home and kill them tonight, but now we're going to do this weird thing where we're going to light torches, and if your torch gets lit, they can't kill you. That was one of the most, we need this person to stay in the game, and we don't know how to do it, so we're going to engineer it. I thought that was really...
What are you talking about? No way. Absolutely not. This is a pure game. This is good editing. This is good cliffhangers. Guess what? In real life, there are real cliffhangers. You don't get all the answers that you want today. You got to wait till tomorrow for some answers. And that's what's happened here. That's reality. So maybe they're the most real show of all time.
So you really didn't have a problem with a certain prominent contestant was definitely going to be killed by the Traitors, but they changed the situation to give him a shield, even though he had not gotten a shield.
No, I didn't. I don't think that that's how that played out. I don't think that was invented in real time. I think that you're, I think you're projecting, because maybe somebody that you love more than anybody else on this cast is at risk here, and maybe that person's name is Petey. So I'm just, you know, let's let it play out as entertainment. Okay. Let's not project onto the show that we love.
Just for the record, you are a tiny little baby who thinks that the producers are not manipulating the proceedings.
Listen,
is that what I'm
the
hearing?
Traitors, we love the traitors because the producers might be manipulating the entire time. They're not doing it like casually. They're not doing it on accident. They're not doing it to save the show. This show is gold no matter what happens. That's the point.
There's a difference between finessing and sack tapping the audience, and I feel like there's been some sack tapping the audience. And that episode in particular.
It's season two. You want to go see what sack taps Jeff's pulled over the years? Okay. I mean, and we're on season 46 about to start tonight. Like, let's give some grace here to Alan in Scotland. Okay. Apparently,
it's
you're
not
Scottish.
Alan's fault. Alan has no idea. Alan, I don't think he knows what the show is.
You're taking a terrible angle on this.
No, I love Alan. I'm just saying he's not like invested. He's like, man, we got to really develop the B plot here. He's just like, I want. Scones,
Alan's more invested than any host of all time of a reality show. If he doesn't win for a reality host, then we riot.
You know what the good part of this season is? CT is always
the best.
Like, it's not like calculated chaos. It's just he doesn't understand what's going on chaos, right? And he's always like on side.
He knows,
but he's
going
on the dramatic
on.
Side. I don't think he does.
Yes,
he
does.
I love CT so much. Let me ask this question. Do you think, because obviously Melissa's like, who do you think is going to win Traitor season two? So this is a Traitors versus Faithful conversation. Let's answer that first. Do you think this is going to be a Faithful or a Traitor win?
Faithful. I think that they're going to get, I think the momentum, the shots that we took at Pete have not, our shots have not come to roost. Is that a thing? Came out on the other side of this when I was really expecting him not to, but that's because of some other poor gameplay by the traitors just kind of turning on each other constantly. And I think that that's ultimately where the faithful are going to win this season.
I don't disagree. Again, we're trying not to spoil. There was a traitors edition, right? I think that might throw everybody off the scent. So that might be tricky to have to deal with. I will say, Tired is Pete's run in the season. Wired is Trishel is kind of secretly the MVP of the season, because I feel like she's been dead on every time. All of her intuitions and instincts, for the most part, have been dead on.
Exhausted, Trishel is good at this game at all. Fully alert, John is running this season and maybe the greatest contestant in reality show history.
I want him to chill the big one with his Parliament stuff, because it's like, my dude. First of all, don't you ever disrespect Parv again.
That was a very long speech. That was a very
long
speech.
How long do you think it was? Over
22 minutes. And the fact that the editors kept the whole thing in, because you know these people go on rants all the time, but they left it all in, and the reaction shots that they used when going around the table of like, hey, bud, we agree with you, but you know this can stop now. This is not a full filibuster situation.
When he spent a few minutes talking about the Magna Carta and the Battle of Hastings, I was like, how does this relate to traitors? What are we talking about? But he really like did the whole thing and like deep dove it. Kudos to him. Yeah, I think it's going to be faithful, and I feel like they've earned it. I feel like they played a better game. Okay, that was our ADHD question of the week. Big thanks to Melissa. I feel like we solved that for her. I didn't realize we were so opposing sides on Traitors season two, but I feel like...
Wait, so you're saying
I feel illuminated.
The Traitors are going to win season two, regardless of if love this season as much as last season, which is wild because the season's been just as good, new wrinkles and everything, but whatever, that's your opinion. You're saying the Traitors are going to win? That's what we're on the opposite sides of?
No, I think we're aligned, actually. I think we are completely opposite on how the season has been and the way the producers are manipulated, because, again, you're a little bitty baby, and you don't think the producers are manipulating. I'm just a grizzled veteran of reality TV, and I know what's what. I do think I could see the traitors winning on, like, a technicality, like the newest one sneaking in because people didn't realize. I will say this, though. The challenges... I used to say, like, just skip right over them. They're not interesting. They've gotten more interesting to me.
Loved them all, the whole time, both seasons. I'm just enamored with the show. It's going to wear off.
The Hell House Challenge.
Yeah.
We got the biggest laugh at our house when Sheree was freaking out, losing her mind because she was getting victimized in the house. So good stuff. So, but thank you to Melissa. And if you want to listen to our ADHD episodes, we do a couple times a month, KnoxMcCoy.com, and support us at the monthly or yearly level. Jason, let's go cameo close to the pin. We're tied 1-1. I picked John, the politician from the Traitors, his cameo price. You got Parvati, her price. Let's stay Traitors since we've been talking.
Wow. Stay Traitors. 3 for 3 Traitors.
Someone who's been
season.
A lightning rod. Luckily, if you're on Traitors, you're also on cameo. So that's helpful. You know, I did see yeah. there was a, I think it was, there's a Kirk Cousins like impersonator that I almost wanted to pick, but that felt weird. I wanted to save that for football season. So we're going to be picking Bergie.
Maybe we say that maybe Kirk's on a new team soon. So maybe we have to make that decision then.
Is it bad that I want him to be on a new team? I don't know why. Seems like he's got a good life in Minnesota, but I just want to see him on a new team. Come home, Kirk. Come home. I don't know where home is.
Yeah, come home. Come home, Kirk. They just hired Josh McCown.
I don't know if
the Vikings did.
He's got great hair. Great head of hair. I don't know how he's going to work as a quarterback coach. I know he almost took over the Texans a few years ago, having not coached ever, but
so in 2019 at some high school, he was Drake May's quarterback's high school or head high school coach. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, there is a sneaky connection there that might have something to do with something or might have nothing to do with anything.
Man. Okay. Okay. Well, to be continued with the Kirk Cousins impersonator, but we will be picking Bergie from, I think it was Love Island, but most recently, and especially to me, Traitors season 2. This was tough. This was really tough because I don't know.
Right there.
Bergie doesn't seem like a person who values himself very well. You know,
I think he does so now. I
wanted to go a little higher and then I dropped it down.
He even said on the show, I'm feeling better about my confidence. You know, he wasn't bright red with everything he said like he was in episode 1. I think Bergie's turned a corner.
Okay.
I've said this before, but there is nothing my kids like more than when they do the shots of the individual players in their bedrooms and it's Bergie with the teddy bear every single time in various positions. So Bergie just committed to the teddy bear. And I got to be honest, I love it. I love that for him.
I would say number one, Sheree freaking out in the Hell House. Number two, Bergie with the teddy bear. Number three, Dak Prescott. Okay, here we go. Like that's top three. That's top three this year. Just good stuff right now. All right, I have my number for Bergie.
All right, my number is $100.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to go higher. No, all that lead up, all the preamble.
Bergie's humble. This is a lock. What is your number?
I'm going to go 198, and I'm thinking, I'm just trying to put a, I feel like I've been burned from people who are on TV, and I've been shorting them, so I wanted to miss a little higher. And I think, you know, I don't know how he was on Love Island, but he seems like a pretty popular guy. Interesting season on Traitors. So my initial instinct was 200, but I wanted to try to undercut you if you had the same instinct.
You're overcutting me and you're overcutting Bergie.
Maybe it's exactly what he's owed though. Okay. So Bergie, you can have, this makes me sad. You can have Bergie for $35.
Okay. Thank you. You overshot.
Congratulations to you. I don't want to take away from your win. You had the right instinct, you know, all that stuff. Also, like, period. This makes me really sad. There's no reason he should be 35. Like,
he's not a lunatic like some of these other people. Like, what is PD 4 times number is going to be? It's going to be like 7,000 for personal, 22 billion for a corporate gig. This is Bergie. He's just trying to be a nice guy, putting out 35-second videos for $35.
I don't know if it's a volume approach of like, I'm going to be flooded with requests, so that 35 is actually going to be a lot more. I want him to value his time, his presence. His picture is from Love Island. Cut, dude. Looks great. You know, doesn't look red or flushed. I got a 4.98 rating, so that's great. I just... 35, mate. That might be the saddest thing I've seen in a long time. I just think
it
really bumps
it might be out. The realest thing. Like we've been talking about the reality of the reality this episode. It might be the realest thing we've seen in a long time. And it's not artificially inflated by ego or recency on TV. Bergie's just like, what would I pay for myself? 35? All right, let's do it.
Do you ever negotiate with your kids and you're like, here's what you should ask for this chore or job or whatever?
Every day.
And they're like, 13 cents. And you just want to be like, okay, time out. you got to ask for at least a dollar.
Yeah, that's okay? The minimum.
I'm not trying to like rip myself off, but like, what are we doing here? You know, that's what it feels like with Burger.
Or like a quarter per trash can or something like that. It's got to result in over a dollar when added up.
Right. Right. That's exactly right. Okay. Congratulations, Jason. You're on a hot streak. You're surging to a 2-1 lead. I'll try to get back in the game next time. That's going to do it for this episode of the Over Underachievers. Again, remember, we're recapping Survivor. So head over to newsletter.knoxquare.com, support us at the monthly or yearly level, and you'll get those recaps dropped in your feed on Fridays. And if you want to spread the word about the show, you can Instagram, tweet, just talk about it out loud. That helps other people learn about us. And that's a big way to help us grow the show. But as always, I'm Knox. He's Jason. We'll see you next time.